Let's stand and reverence the Word of God this morning. If you're here and you're able, we're going to read in Mark chapter number 2, and I want to read the first 12 verses. When I shared with Brother Keith this morning where I would be preaching, he said that's one of my favorite stories in the gospel. And I'm sure he'd do a better job at it than I am, but I'm going to do my best to give you what God's given me. And again, he entered into Capernaum, that he, there's Jesus, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Boy, I'm glad I heard him say that one day. Whew. Ask God to have mercy. He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You say, but Pastor, you weren't sick of the palsy. No, I was more shame than that. I was dead in trespass and sin. Excuse me. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know, he wanted to know something, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, don't miss this, he took up his bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You can be seated. Pray with me and pray for me, please. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to read the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God that leads us and guides us along the way. Lord, I know what I am without you. I'm nothing. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would anoint us with the fresh oil of heaven, that we might share our Father the burden of our heart, and Lord, that we might, Lord, see the importance of this story in the Word of God. You said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God, we've got everything we need laying right in front of us. Help us, Lord, to dig it out. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. I don't even really have a title for the message. I guess people wouldn't know what to think if they looked online and saw a title like How to Have a Successful Bible School. But that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Amen. That's what you can title it, Brother Jim, if you want to. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know what in the world this has got to do with Bible school. Well, when you leave, you'll know. It's got everything to do with it. Amen. The Bible said here that, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised. In other words, they were talking about it, that he was in the house. I'm going to give you, I guess, five things in the message this morning altogether. The first thing I want you to notice is the house. You know, this is God's house, amen. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we leave, the last Christian leaves here, this is just a building. But we call it the house of God. This is the meeting place, amen. This is where children from all over Kingsport and Colonial Heights are going to be gathering this week. They're going to come to the house of God. And I want to give you some things that God spoke to me about the house. Number one, there's the presence of the Savior. Let me say this. The Bible said it was noise that he was in the house. Let me tell you something about Bible school. We need Jesus. Every night we need Jesus. Amen. We need Jesus in the house. And I believe with all of my heart that especially that first 30 minutes of teaching. I thought about my wife a while ago as I was sitting on the front pew, and I know she's got a lot to do every night, and I know there are many others that have scores of things to do in preparation every night. But I tell you what I believe you ought to do. I believe you ought to take 5 to 10 minutes during that teaching time and stop it all and get on your knees and pray for the teachers and pray for the students that they would be able to receive the engrafted Word of God. Amen. I believe it would just welcome Jesus in the house. Don't you? Amen. And so we see the presence of the Savior. And then we see the preaching of the Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 2 that He preached the Word unto them. I thank God for a Bible school that still includes the Bible. What in the world's the use to call it a Bible school if you ain't going to teach youngins the Word of God, the Bible? Amen. And I tell you, Brother Jason had his guitar out the other night, and little James is already learning the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Amen. You hear how I pronounce that, brother? Not for, fur. That's the book for me. Amen. Brother Jason's country's cornbread. That's what they call him at work, cornbread. Amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, we need the Word of God. We need it in the teen room. We need it in the primaries. We need it in every classroom. We need the Word of God. And then when memory work time comes, you've got workers that are working with those children as they try to recall those verses and recite those verses. Those are seeds that are being planted, amen, that might grow up into a big old cornstalk one of these days and bear fruit to the glory of God. So as we look at the house, we need to understand the need for the presence of the Savior, the preaching of the Scripture. But let me give you this, where needs to be the passion of the saints. I'm going to say more about this a little bit later on in the message, but I'm going to tell you something right now. We're going to have a house full of youngins that need somebody to love them. Many of those youngins have a home where God is in the house. And it's a godly home, amen. And their mom and dads love them. Their aunts and uncles love them. Their mamas and papas love them. But I'm telling you, we're going to have youngins here this week that really don't even know what real love is all about. And I tell you, when they get here, they shouldn't just be loved. They ought to be smothered. Hallelujah. In the love of God. Amen. They ought to leave here saying, somebody cares about me. Somebody loves me. I can remember a bus driver loving me. A Sunday school teacher loving me. Amen. Thank God. I can remember Bible school when the big project was taking popsicle sticks and gluing them together and making a house out of them. But we enjoyed it. Amen. And we built something for mom and built something for dad and took it home. Amen. The house, the presence of the Savior, the preaching of the Scripture. I'm going to tell you something. You skip the Scripture, you skip the Savior, you might as well skip the week. Amen. Because we need Him. And I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to be on our face this morning, this altar, just say it to Him. Lord, we need You. We need You. We want to have a great Bible school. And if we have a great Bible school, it's going to be because You show up and because You work in our midst. And we need You. Amen. The next thing I want you to notice is the helpless. We've noticed the house, but I want you to notice the helpless. The Word of God said here, they came unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy. When you look that up, That palsy is a paralytic or someone that's disabled, weak of limb. He can't help himself. Let me tell you something, beloved. You can say whatever you want to. But when we're lost without God, we can't help ourselves. We need to come to Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can help us. Now, others can plant seed in that life, amen? But God must give the increase, amen? And we see this man that's sick of the palsy. He's paralyzed. He's disabled. He can't help himself. But thank God, I'm going to get to it after a while, really get into that. There's four that's willing to help him, amen? I tell you, that ought to be the story of our life. Help somebody to Jesus. Help them to Jesus, amen? Boy, God, help us that we wouldn't hinder them from coming to Jesus. I've said this for years. I want my life to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. I don't want my life to cause somebody to stumble. I want my life to be a stepping stone, helping somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, Pastor, what about helpless, not just this man, but when we're dead in our trespasses and sin? Last week, Brother John was telling me yesterday at breakfast as we went out on, Brother John, that burden's on my heart. We're going to have to go to Newport. I'm going to trust you to pray and know when, brother. But we're going to have to go to Newport. He went down there and bought some rims off of somebody, Brother Brian, and they're two old people. He said, are y'all saved? Both of them said, no. Honey, they got half the battle won. Because they understand. About everybody tell you these days, yeah, I'm saved. Lost as a ball in high weeds. Yeah, I'm saved. But I'm telling you, ever since he told me that, I can't get it off my heart. Amen. We're going to go to Newport and tell them about a Savior. Amen. Pray for them. Water the seed. Trust God to give the increase. You see, people need to be saved. People need the Lord. The house, we see the helpless. Now, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the hindrances in the story. How many understands that every time you set out to do something for God, we saw a turtle in the middle of the road this morning. It wasn't you, Brother Mike. If it was, I'd run over you, amen. I'm just kidding. We saw a turtle in the middle of the road this morning, and he had his head stretched up that high. I mean, you ought to get off the yellow line if you're watching for traffic, amen. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? You determined to do something for God like we've done this week. We're going to have Bible school. You can mark this down. The old devil's going to raise that head up there. Where can I get in? Where can I hinder? What can I do to stop the work of God in that young'un's heart? You mark my word. Look at the hindrances. Number one, his condition was a hindrance. He was paralyzed. Number two, the crowd was a hindrance. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? There were so many people in that house that they couldn't even get in the door. You understand that? You say, Pastor, how can the crowd be a hindrance? Listen to me. I want everybody to perk your ears and your heart up right here and listen to me. There'll be people sitting in the classrooms. There'll be people that'll be in the groups, even in the opening, the closing, and all of that, that, beloved, would never move because they're scared to do anything in front of a crowd. How many's with me right here? So we need to keep our eyes peeled and keep our heart peeled and look for somebody standing over there, beloved, that's got that look in their eyes, amen, and befriend them and love them, amen, because sometimes it's the crowd that's a hindrance and one-on-one will get the job done. I don't know about you, but we're living in a generation, you listen to me, you may not believe it, but I know what I'm talking about. We're living in a generation of preachers that don't believe in talking to people one-on-one. They don't do it. Oh, they're comfortable behind the pulpit. But I'm going to tell you something right now, I'm just as comfortable in somebody's living room, on their front porch, in their yard as I am. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same everywhere we go. The crowd can be a hindrance. The construction was a hindrance. There's a roof on the place. Somebody's going to have to break it up. Amen? Them old boys got up there on the roof. And, you know, I want you to think about this for just a moment. I don't know where this is supposed to come into the message. A little bit later. But I want you to think about this for just a moment. They got down there and there's a roof between them and Jesus. So what did they determine to do? They determined to remove what was between them and Jesus. You know what we ought to be determined to do? Know somebody well enough to know what's standing between them and Jesus. Amen. See if we can't get that moved out of the way and get them to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you this morning, we can have a successful Bible school. We need to notice the house. We need the presence of the Savior, the preaching of the Scripture, the passion of the saints. We need to know that people without Jesus are helpless, but we need to know there's going to be some hindrances. What a brace for it. Then not only the construction, but the calloused. I'm going to say something. Listen to me. I'm going to say it, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If you're going to have a part in Bible school and your heart ain't right, you say, Pastor, what do you mean calloused? Read it right there. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. How in the world could you be reasoning anything when Jesus just healed a man that had been paralyzed all of it? How in the world could you not say glory to God? How in the world could you not say, ain't that good? Ain't God good? What? He's a walking, amen. But no, they're reasoning in their heart. They're all tore out of the frame because they said, he's blasphemed. That shows you what they know. Somebody say amen. Calloused. Hard in their heart. Let me tell you something about children. They can read your heart. They can read your heart. Amen. Little Liam got out of the car this morning in his pajamas and boots. You know who he reminded me of? Pastor on Friday. If you come to my house and you catch me mowing, I'll probably have my pajama bottoms on. You say, why would you do such a thing? They're comfortable. You got to crawl up under a vehicle. I mean, you can get up under there with them on without splitting something. Say amen. I had rubber boots on up to there. Grass all over them where I've been weed eating. He reminded me of Pastor this morning. Amen. When he come in. But I'm going to tell you something I believe. I believe Liam knows his pastor loves him. Amen. I believe there's some people sitting right here in this building. You're not saved yet, but you know this pastor loves you. And you know there's others in this building that love you and are praying for you. The calloused, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, watch this now. When I said that a while ago about your heart not being right, let me say this to you this morning. I'm preaching now. You say, Pastor, that must have been for somebody else. Let me tell you something right now. God knows who's for. God knows every one of us's heart. He don't only know what we're going to do this week. He knows why we're going to do it. And I'm telling you, that callous heart's a dangerous place to be. The hindrances. The Bible said down there, verse number 10, but they you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. In other words, Jesus saying, I didn't do this by accident. I actually want you to know that I am the Son of God and that I do have power on earth to forgive sins. Amen. You know what I think? I think we need to go into this week believing that Jesus is the Son of God and He has power on earth. He has power in the Bible Way Baptist Church Bible School to forgive sins. Amen. He's the only one that does. Now let's watch this. We've seen the house. We've seen the helpless. We've seen the hindrances. I want to look now at the helpers. The helpers. The Bible said he was born of four. Now, that don't mean he had four mamas. That means there's four carrying him. Amen. There's four carrying him. He's on a stretcher. And I want to say this about those three things about those that are helping him to get to Jesus. There was one mind, only one mind. I thought about this, and if I'm wrong, God forgive me. I know I'm right about some of these things. If you get somebody on a stretcher, that's just two sticks or two saplings, two poles with some kind of a canvas or cloth between them. I do know this. If any one person drops their corner, they don't make it. There's four of them. All four of them don't have to drop their corner, just one. And he spills out on the ground. Am I right or am I wrong? Now watch this. I'm talking about the helpers. They're up on the roof now and they've busted the roof up, Brother Dale. Evidently, I mean, I'm just no country boy. There's got to be a rope. They're letting him down. Amen. And when I read that last night again, I thought about Wise, Virginia. There was a lady up there. She was in her 80s. Her mama lived to be 103. I went up there to visit with them. Her name was Sarah Catherine Wampler. Her mama was Granny Holyfield. And went up there to visit with them. And they said, Pastor, we need you to do something for us. They had, I don't know, anybody ever seen one of them old beds where it took two steps to get up in it? That's what they had. They had them steps where you, man, I'm telling you, you got a raise every time you went to bed. Amen. And they said, Pastor, I'm telling you, it was an antique. God only knows, Mark, what that bed's worth. They said, well, you saw the legs off on this thing. Let this bed down so we can get in and out of it. I said, I will on one condition. I said that you don't run all over Wise telling everybody the pastor let you down. Amen. I saw them legs off, amen, on that bed. But here they are. They got this bed and they're carrying it. Now, they've got to let it down. You know what they got to do? One can say, I'm going to let mine down fast. The other say, I'm going to let mine down slow. I'm going to let mine down medium. They got to go at the same speed. They got to let it down together. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm going to tell you something right now. There's all kinds of corners in this Bible school. All kinds. You're going to have people teaching. You're going to have people in memory work. You're going to have people in the games. You're going to have people in the food. You're going to have people in the security. And God help me, I'll miss an area. We've got all the stuff going on with the skits. I don't mean to miss it. But I'm just saying there's all kinds of corners. And everybody better hold your own corner. Because all you got to do is drop one. And it messes the whole thing up. Everybody needs to work together. They were in one mind. Do you see that? No, one guy's... I got to thinking about this, Brother Michael. How far did they carry him? The Bible don't say. I mean, they could have got there and just been war. This is country term. Slap out. They could have got there and been, I mean, just already wore out. By the way, let me tell you this. Before the week's over, there's going to be some people around here wore, slap, out. Not me. I'm going to sleep till 2 o'clock every day. Y'all believe that, don't you? I got some seashore in Kentucky I want to sell you. Amen. Anyway, they got there, brother. I could maybe see somebody saying, you know what? I'm wore out. I don't feel like busting that roof up. Another guy said, man, listen. You listen to me. We've come too far to quit now. Let's get this roof busted up. This man needs Jesus. Can you see a conversation like that? Maybe. I don't know how far they carried it. But I'm going to tell you what, they got him to Jesus. That's the main thing. The main thing, and I'll say this going back to Brother John. Brother John, the main thing ain't get them to Bible way. I want to meet them old people in heaven, Brother John. The main thing, get them to Jesus, ain't it? The main thing ain't getting them to our church, amen? I'd love to see anybody come to our church, but that ain't the main thing. The main thing is getting them to Jesus. Because without Jesus, they burn in hell forever and forever and forever. So the hindrances will come, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can overcome the hindrances with the helpers. You say, why? Because greater is He. Everybody that's a child of God, say this with me. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. I got a big brother that can handle old Slewfoot. Amen. Yes, I do. They were one mind. They had one motive. Let's get him to Jesus. And there was one master. You didn't have anybody on that four corners saying, I got what he needs. No, no you don't. I got what he needs. That wasn't going on. There's only one master. And they was all getting into him because they knew he had what he needed. Pull that slide up there for me, Brother Jim. Whoever's got it back there, pull that slide up there for me. Okay, that's what I thought when I looked at the slide a while ago. When Brother Keith sent me the picture, you can see right here, Brother Michael, it's got text in the bottom of the picture. See it? So that's why I wanted my phone so I could read. See the guy over on the right? Anybody know his name? Here's what it says in the bottom of the picture. He sent this to Brother Keith. Here's what it says. Am now from border of Nyasa to give John the lesson booklets. Long ways he will start teaching next week. Now here's my point. Somebody tell me the name of one of those four guys that was carrying that stretcher. You can't, can you? You can't, Slater. I can't either. Bible don't say. You know, it'd be a happy day in our life if we realized nobody ever recognizes our name. We're just working to get somebody to Jesus. What I wanted to tell you about that is that man wrote the text and never mentioned his own name. You think about that. Kind of sounds like John, don't it? Guess what his name is? John. I texted Brother Keith back. I said, what's the guy's name in the picture? He said, John. Amen. I want you to think about this. When John, the beloved disciple, would refer to himself, he'd say that other disciple. That disciple whom Jesus loved. Here's a man in Africa that's working to get the job done. He don't care if anybody knows his name. But I cared enough to try to find out what his name was. I love the song that Sister Hannah sings. He knows my name. And that's all that matters. Amen. That's all that matters. Well, we've seen the helpers. There's no names mentioned here. Helpers helping the helpless. Think about that for just a moment. Now, let's look at the last thing. Let's look at the honor. The honor. Look at verse 12. And immediately he arose. This is talking about the man that was sick of the palsy. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all. He's a big crowd. And everybody sees it. He's let right down in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus heals him and forgives him. And he gets up. He come in this way on a bed. Now he's got a bed on his shoulder going to the house. Amen. Take up thy bed. Watch what he said here. Immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch that they were all amazed. And they glorified them four guys that were carrying him. Somebody say no. No! They didn't glorify them four guys that was carrying him. They didn't say, hey buddy, what's your name? No, no, no. They glorified God. Think about that. I heard something years ago early on in my ministry, Brother Jason. It said this. When our hearts are right with God, we don't care who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. Now that's a bigger statement than you think. You want to know why? Every one of us has got something that stinks. Now, I'm not talking about your wife, Brother Michael. I'm talking about your flesh. Every one of us has got something that stinks. I should have turned that around, shouldn't I, Sister Amy? I wasn't talking about your husband, Sister Amy. I'm trying to get out of this hole I've dug. Amen. Somebody let me a ladder down in here. Amen. Every one of us got flesh. We better not do what we do for the approval of men. We better do it for the glory of God. You say, what's that do? When you get a bunch of people working together in one mind for the glory of God, I tell you what it does. It makes Jesus a real comfortable place to show up. Amen. Because you know what will cause him to leave quicker than anything? Pride. A lot of moving parts in this Bible school. And there's no part more important than another part. Oh, you say, well, I teach the Word of God. That's the most important part. Let me ask you this. What about the people that invited them? What about the people that are going to see to it that they have a good time so they come back? Anybody with me? Everything is important. Now, there are two names that the young'uns will know this week. We need to pray for the third name. But I promise you, when them young'uns leave here this week, they're going to know Tommy and they're going to know Annie. Amen. But we need to pray they know Jesus. That they know Jesus. Let's magnify the Lord. Amen. In their presence. Amen. I hope this morning something's been said to challenge us. To challenge us. Brother Chris, I don't know. He's in the prayer room and he just barely got started. And I said, get out of my field. You know what? That's the way the Holy Spirit is. He's dealing. He knows things, Brother Junior, we don't know. He knows things we don't know. He knows hearts that we don't know. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. And I want the Bible school just to be an awesome, awesome experience. For the children, listen to me. How many understands what it is to serve the Lord? How many's ever tried to do something for somebody and you got the blessing? You're trying to be a blessing and you got a bigger blessing. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's the way it is, ain't it? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for this story in the Bible. Thank you for what you put in our hearts. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us this week, Lord, to do what we can while we can to point young'uns to Jesus. This is what I want to ask you to do this morning. If you have a part in the Bible school, would you come and pray over it? Would you pray over what God's given you to do in the Bible school? If you have an issue in your heart that needs to be dealt with, that's between you and God. Would you come and ask God to help you with that issue? If you're not involved in the Bible school, I promise you, if you'd see somebody, they'd give you a place to work in the Bible school. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to your heart, it's my prayer this morning that you would come, that you would surrender to Him. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He can't do anything else. Would you come to Him? Would you trust Him this morning?